B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertedis middays.
With two home runs, Real Muto with the grand slam. Hoskins right leads off with the single. Yep. So it's the big names that coming into the season we had higher expectations for. They're the ones that stopped up yesterday.
Yeah, no question about it. And that does it does feel good. I'm not minimizing the win last night. I loved it. It was an exciting game. The ball was in play. It was flying all over the place. It was great. But I'm not going to change my expectations based on one baseball game on August 14th last night. Because Charlie was in the dugout. And I love Charlie. I really do. I love everything about him. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPEN. Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station, and we broadcast from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Donald in Chester is on The Fanatic. Hey, Don.
Morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm perplexed a little bit, but... I mean, I just think that, like, it's baseball. Like, we know, like, okay, it's fun to feel good about last night, but we know in baseball you need to see more data. Like, scoring 12 runs doesn't mean you're going to do it for the next month.
Right. I think it's what it is. I know that the one thing about Charlie being there is that it will keep them on their toes. You know, it will keep them on their toes, and, you know, every bat will be a quality at bat. So, you know, we're going to find out a lot about these guys in this lineup because of Charlie being there. So, but you're right though, you know, because really we should only, I believe the Mets had probably the most challenging rotation.
The Mets and Washington's coming up. They got a 5-game series against Washington.
Exactly. So really, you know, but you're right. You know, besides that, we should average seven to 10 runs if you just listen to what Charlie tells you.
All right. Hey, Donald, thanks, man. I don't know what's happened. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm sorry. I'm out at the train station here, and Amtrak just rolled by. Forgive me.
Okay, they weren't stopping for you, Donald.
Yeah, man.
No, they wasn't.
That was the express train.
So I just wanted to make it quick. Yeah, I just wanted to make this quick. Yeah, I believe that I'm with you, but besides the Washington rotation and maybe the Mets rotation, as long as they listen to what Skip Hess has to say, there's no reason not to be successful. You know, as far as that pitching staff, I believe Klintak's going to have a lot to answer for at the end of the season.
Yeah, when he sits down, Donald, with John Middleton at the end of this season and they do the full redux on the season, what went wrong, what went right, where do we need to get better, it's going to be really obvious. I mean, it's not going to be a meeting where any punches are going to be pulled. You know what's coming.
Right.
You know where the problems are. This isn't rocket science identifying the issues with the Phillies.
It's not, hey, we need a five hitter.
Yeah.
Like, no, we need a two, a three, and a four in our rotation.
Yeah, we need three pitchers. We need help in the bullpen. Robertson has been a disaster because he hasn't been available. So there's a lot they need, and the question is John Middleton going to believe that his general manager's assessment of the talent that they had going into this season, that they have going forward, and a plan to solve the problems is something that he finds palatable and that this general manager can handle. And the fact that he went over the GM and the president's head to fire the hitting coach, essentially, and appoint Charlie Manuel tells you that he doesn't have a tremendous amount of faith right now in those two.
Can you say went over their head if he's the owner?
Oh, he went over their head, yeah, because he went to himself. He's like, I can dictate anything.
Yes.
So, like, he didn't go over their head.
Yeah.
He is over their head. But he made the call because they didn't have the guts to make the call. Now, if they'd have fired the pitching coach, too, then I guess, but bring Rich Doobie back.
Yes.
You know? But Al tweets in again, Al Ford, and he says, again, hold your horses. I never said this current squad is progressing into a dynasty. I never said that you did, Al. He said, that's your own melodrama speaking. I never said anything about a dynasty. They haven't even made a playoff in almost a decade. He goes, I'm absolutely more optimistic regarding pitching staff, though. Here we go.
Yes.
VV has been better.
Vinny Velo.
Let it play out and enjoy the ride is all I'm saying. Cheers. Okay. Look, I'm going to let it play out. But again, and last night was a good start to turning the page. But again, for just me, they got to follow it up. This isn't real complicated, what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
It's really not. And like, that morning, Dip tweets in and says, Andrew's a diehard baseball fan looking for a reason to get excited. I'm totally cool with that, too. Like, you are excited. I could just sense you're excited.
I'm excited.
He says, your bubble will be popped when it's more of the same. It's great to see Charlie, but he is 75 years old. He's just trying to help out.
I don't care about the age. I don't care about the age at all.
He's not playing. You know,
I mean, Matt Klentak's like 12 and he's a general manager.
Yeah.
I don't care if Charlie's 75 and he's the hitting coach.
Yeah.
So there's another tweet. This is from your boy Footlong Foles, because he read his tweet yesterday. What's the difference between Game 3 World Series starter Jamie Moyer and Jason Vargas?
Well, Moyer was a much more accomplished pitcher.
Yes.
Now, when Jamie Moyer was the Game 3 starter in the playoffs,
he also went 16-7 that year.
Yeah, and the team was far different. The staff, the pitching staff in total was far different. And he was in his 40s at the time, I believe. Right?
Yes.
I mean,
he was 45 years old.
Where's the accomplishment for Jason Vargas?
He's had some nice years.
Yeah, okay.
Here and there.
Tony tweets in and says, don't let the facts get in the way of another rant. Jason ran about Philly sports. If the Flyers had scored, so here we go. Oh, I love when guys do this.
I got a couple of those tweets.
The Flyers scored 6 goals after Hack was canned, he would be going nuts. The Flyers won 3-4. I bet we can find some audio of him praising. No, dude. One game does not swing me.
This one's from Lou the Mailman. Andrew, ask Jason if the Flyers got Bernie Perron as the goaltending coach and Carter had a shutout the next game, would he be excited?
Oh, yeah. I'd be ecstatic that. Yeah. Yes. Come on. Give me a break.
That's awesome.
That's as lazy as it gets, Tony, whoever the other idiot
Lou
was.
The Mailman. That's a great tweet.
Lou.
Tweet of the week.
Mail it in.
And Vargas went 18-11 in 2017. Call him, man.
Oh, okay. Mark in Kensington's on the Fanatic. Hey, Mark.
Yes. Hey, guys. Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air, buddy.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. No, listen, quick points. Like, one thing, this is coming from a guy, I don't really like baseball, so I'm a Phillies fan just because I'm from Philly. Mm-hmm. I really think it was just the fact that Charlie was there. The pressure was on the old batting coach. So this guy's coming in like, go ahead, young man, you know, just show me what you got. And that'll ease a little bit of pressure off of everybody. The second thing I was going to say was about the football preseason. I've been thinking, eliminate 2 games. I know there's talk about making an 18-game season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with that, but I would imagine an 18-game season and expand the roster by 15 players so that this way you could kind of maneuver it a little more and then make for a longer season. And then just lastly, listen, I need 3 tickets to FanFest. Do you guys have any more tickets left?
Yeah. But let me expand the roster by 15 players. Is there, like, I know you have
the reason
more
why I say that? Is because, you know, so the stipulation was we'll go 18, but, you know, players can only play 16 games.
See, I think that's asinine. If you have players that you're paying for a season, I know you only pay them 16 because they only play that, but they still got to practice.
Right.
But why is that good to have to pull out your starting quarterback for 2 games in a season? The depth at that position in pro sports is horrible.
Oh, agree.
Do I want to watch a game where I go, okay, the Eagles this week have chosen not to play Carson Wentz, and their storyline to
I would
it
hate
too.
To hear them say they chose not to play him.
Well, you have to, because you said they can only play 16 games.
Exactly.
If you have a sport, no matter how many games you play, every player's got to be able to play every game. Agreed. To me, it gets really kind of hokey when you do that.
That's the only way I can imagine if they were to expand it to an 18-game season.
I mean, the selling point for me is real simple, is if you make it an 18-game schedule, you add another bye week in there, but all players got to be able to play, and they get paid more.
Yeah, they should.
Well, they won't because they're paying full freight. They're charging full freight for preseason games now. So I don't know what the answer is. I'm fine with it being at 16. Just get rid of 2 preseason games.
Agreed, 100%.
I don't need 18 regular season games.
Yeah, well, they'll get greedy. I would just imagine if they shorten the preseason, then I could easily see them extending the regular season, which would be horrible, too.
Well, look, I don't want them to extend it because there's already games at the end of an NFL season that don't matter.
Yes.
That become preseason games. So if you have 18, then like 3 games at the end of a season could be meaningless for a team that either has home field locked up or can't advance in their home field, whatever it is. I'm fine at 16. The sport's fine the way it is. Just get rid of 2 preseason games. 1 home, 1 away, you're good to go.
Yeah. I remember when the news came. That was from Pro Football Talk. There was that report that they could expand it to 18 games, the sitting players, two games, all that. And Anthony got really excited. And I was like, why are you getting so excited, man?
Well,
like,
he just wants more football.
I know.
So it's practical.
Once you get to week 17, you're like, all right, let's go. Playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The only time you'd want two more weeks is if your team is borderline, playoff team or not. If they're 8-8. Yes,
they stay in the mix.
Yeah. But if your team's the Eagles, especially going into this season, where we expect a first-round bye,
I don't need two more games for a guy to get hurt and not be available for the playoffs. And the other thing is, with football, this notion that they have to play in preseason to be really good to start a season is flawed, because just about every guy that played in the NFL played in college where they didn't play one preseason game. Now, a lot of college teams open up against Drek.
Yes.
I get it.
Yes.
Not all. Like, there's games in week one.
Oh, yeah. Temple's got a tough matchup.
Well,
Temple Bucknell.
You look at, like, some of the bigger schools, like, you'll see a tough game in week one. You know, you'll see games like kickoff classic games where two ranked teams will battle it out in their first game of the season.
Oh, you
season.
Got the countdown clock, isn't it? Florida-Miami?
Florida-Miami's in less than 2 weeks. It's a week from Saturday. So that notion that you can't be ready to play a game of football because you haven't played four preseason games, to me, is not valid, because all of these players, when they played major college, did not play preseason. You don't play preseason in college, ever. You don't even have, you know, the joint scrimmages in college.
Right.
They just work out, they play, and they put everything into place, and they go and play a game in late August, Labor Day weekend, when the college football slate kicks off of full tilt.
Got a little bit of news here, and this is a shame. I feel terrible. This is from Adrian Wojnarowski. Lakers center DeMarcus Cousins has suffered a possible knee injury and will undergo further testing today in Los Angeles. League sources tell ESPN Cousins was working out in Las Vegas on Monday when he had to leave the court. Sources said he signed the one-year deal in July. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. It
really is a shame.
It's maybe over, Johnny. Just getting injured.
Like, if this is another injury that requires surgery.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, this guy had such a high ceiling in this league, and he's had injury after injury after injury.
They're ravaging him at this point.
And he's doing the right thing. He's signing the one-year prove-it deals. He did it with Golden State. Now he's doing it with the Lakers. And I get it. He's joining teams that are going to have good chances at winning the championship. Mm. But I feel bad for the dude.
Yeah. And that does suck. I hate to see guys just their career get just ravaged by injury and minimize what they are able to do, especially a talented player like him. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. It is the Midday Show. We'll talk to Zach Berman from The Athletic coming up at noon. Eagles preseason tonight. The Phils look for the sweep over the Cubbies tonight. Smiley goes tonight for the fighting Phils. Can they continue the hitting? Well, we'll find out. 610-632-0975. Jason Martinez here to tell you about my friends at the Rothenberg Law Firm. Now, sports radio hosts and sports fans, we talk a lot about our great Philly teams, our players, their stats, and every sports fan knows how important stats are, because oftentimes they measure success and figure out what's working. Well, when I saw the stats at the Rothenberg Law Firm, I was blown away. Sure, I've known that Allen and his firm have been winning here in Philly for years, but it's even bigger than that. Listen to these stats. Did you know that they've been winning for injured people for nearly 50 years? Did you know that they've helped thousands and thousands of people with all kinds of injury cases? And did you know that they've won billions of dollars for injured people? That's billions with a B. Now, you don't have to be a manager of a team to know that these guys are winners. The stats say it all. So if you're injured and you want to win, make the call to the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to stop until they win for you. So here's the number. It's 800-624-8888. That's 800-624-8888. Or you can always visit their website at injurylawyer.com. Again, the website is injury.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. The Fanatic.
11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
Yeah, it is the Midday Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony off today, rest of the week. He'll be back Monday. Actually, filling in for Mike on Monday and Tuesday. Andrew sitting in for Anthony. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. The Phillies right now, Andrew, 62-58 on the season. They played 120 games, 42 left. 9 games back in the division, 3 games back of the Nationals, and by virtue of the Phillies beating the Cubs last night, the Cardinals are now in first place in the Central by a half a game.
Yeah, I don't get that team.
You don't understand it?
No, like they have a nice team. They have Goldschmidt on that squad.
Yep.
They have some nice players. I don't know how they're still in it. I've been waiting for that collapse all season long, and they've been up there the entire time. It's like it's like the Pacers 2 years ago, right? Remember, or even last year after Oladipo went down, you were waiting for them to fall out of playoff contention, yet they still hover around that 4 or 5 seed the entire season. It's been like that for me with the Cardinals this year.
Yeah. The Phillies don't make up any ground last night. Still 2 games back in the wild card. The Nationals with wild card 1. Cubs now, the Cubs have wild card 2. The Brewers a half game up on the Phillies, and the Phillies 2 games back at 62 and 58. And they get the chance to try and sweep the Cubs coming up tonight down at Citizens Bank Park. 610-632-0975. Zach Berman from The Athletic will join us at noon as we get ready for the Eagles game tonight. You know, it's funny, we get so hyped up about the Eagles preseason and everything, and then it gets here, and you just realize, and with the starters playing less and less every preseason, and maybe this is kind of like the tipping point of the NFL for them to really make a change, the games, there's just such a lack of intrigue. Yeah, I'm going to watch it,
right.
And the only reason that I'm putting it on the big TV and putting the Phillies on the computer is simply because watching baseball on the computer is much better than watching football on the computer.
Yeah, you don't have to see as much.
Yeah.
You can hear the crack of the bat, look down and find where the ball is going because the camera's following the ball.
Yeah, and situationally between every pitch, I'm good to go. That's the only reason why it gets the computer tonight. And maybe that's only even for like the first quarter of the Eagles game. Eventually, I just go, let me just put the Eagles on the computer.
It's funny that you bring that up because as we were coming out of break there, I was going to bring this up. I'm going to the Phillies game tonight, so I'm not going to be able to watch the Eagles game live. I'm going to have to watch it when I DVR when I get back after the Phillies game. And I was going to ask you, are you excited at all for tonight? Like, are you got the nice Eagles sweater right now?
I'm more excited for the Phillies game tonight.
Yeah, but you're not sitting here like, we got football back.
No.
Like, we were like that last week because it was the first one.
Exactly.
And
it was more symbolic nature than the actual game.
You got Kessler and Thorson tonight.
Yeah. And we're assuming that Wentz isn't going to play at all tonight. We'll see if he even dresses tonight. But there's still guys I'm excited to see. You know, there was only 3 carries for 3 yards last week for Miles Sanders. I still want to see more of Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard. I want to see more of Arcega Whiteside. I want to see more of Dallas Goedert. I want to see more on the defensive side of the ball, Sidney Jones. And there's guys that I want to see play. But am I excited? No, that wouldn't be the right word.
Now you're going to see Goedert sitting soon.
Yeah.
After how well he played last week, do you really need to see that much more out of him? They probably want to see him block some more. Well, you do have a battle. If you want to talk about battles, right, you're pretty much set in every single roster spot on this team. But some of the battles, there is the third tight end battle. I know that doesn't get people excited, but Richard Rodgers, Josh Perkins is one of them. There's 2 other guys fighting for that third tight end spot. So if Goedert sits, you do have 4 other guys fighting for that number 3 spot.
Yeah, although pretty inconsequential in the grand scheme of things. The other thing, the other battle that I want to see some of these offensive linemen that are going to play because the starters aren't going to play because you need to have that depth there, especially because of Jason Peters and Brandon Brooks. Like, there's some intrigue in that position.
You want to see what Vitae does.
Yeah.
And if he can raise his trade stock because
Jadeveon Clowney.
The Clowney thing is real.
Yeah, that's a bit of a double-edged sword. Like, I want that depth on the offensive line. For obvious reasons, you're messing. If somebody goes down, you're messing with the protection of Wentz. But because it's Clowney and he's a game changing player and talent, I'm trying to figure out. I'd be fine with them taking the risk.
Well, yeah, you look back at the Super Bowl team. I know the defense didn't play well in that Super Bowl, but ultimately the biggest play in that Super Bowl was a strip sack of Tom Brady. But all season long, that front four was the most dominant force on your team.
Yeah.
I would take that front four as more important than some of the pieces of the offense that season, especially after Carson Wentz went down. But that front four, it was the same corners in that Super Bowl year as you had last year.
And
we ripped the corners last year. Why? Because the front four wasn't getting as much pressure to the quarterback. 2 years ago, Jalen Mills looked like an elite cornerback because Fletcher Cox was getting to the quarterback, because Chris Long was getting there, Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
If you bring in Clowney, now you got a front four of Clowney and Graham and Barnett gets some rotation. You got Malik Jackson. You got Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
You got Tim Jernigan. That's dangerous.
And the rotation is huge for the D-line to keep fresh legs on the field. So I'm intrigued by it. I don't think it'll happen, but you never know with Howie Roseman. That's the thing. You never know. The Texans are looking for offensive line help.
They need a left tackle.
So, and the situation with Clowney, his contract is a consideration for them. So could it happen? Sure. Will it happen? Probably not, but there is some intrigue there, no doubt about it. But yeah, the way I would go into tonight's Eagles preseason game, it's not really excitement. It's more like inquisitive. Like there's some things I want to see, but I didn't wake up today going like, oh, it's game day. Let's go play this song. You know, the whole thing.
It's almost like a homework assignment.
Yeah.
Like, I got to watch because we got to talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, it's a game. You got to watch it. You got to pay attention. There's some things that you want to see, but it doesn't have me lathered and excited because I'm lathered and excited for the regular season. So, so my excitement level for that tonight is not there. It's more excited for the, ironically, based on what we've talked about in the last hour or 90 minutes of the show, is actually, I'm more excited to see what the Phillies can do.
Because you want to see if it's real.
Well, I want to see two things. I want to see, can they win three games in a row? Because they've had a hard time doing that. Can the bats continue to hit? Can they, you know, they put up that 12 runs last week and then one run the next day. So, can they build on what they did last night from an offensive standpoint? And they're winning three in a row, and if they can hit again tonight, they can start to build up a confidence and ride a wave. Because that's what happens in baseball a lot of times. You ride the wave, you ride as long as you can, and you win 11 out of 13 games. And it changes everything in the standings for them and puts them in such a different position. So I'm more intrigued and excited about that potential tonight than I am a preseason football game that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I'm going through
I'll have both on.
I'm going through the Phillies schedule and results right now to see how many three-game winning streaks they have. We already know that the longest winning streak this season has been four.
Yeah.
But I want to see how many
times. Twice, I think.
Because it doesn't happen all that often. I think it was three times.
All in the first half?
Beginning of the season, the Mets sweep when they swept them in four games, and then they took two against the Padres. That was after McCutchen got hurt, and then they took two against the Reds that next series. So that was the three four-game win streaks they've had this year.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to see how many times they at least had a three-game winning streak, because you're right, it hasn't happened often in a long season.
610-632-0975, that's the number to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Olney and talk to Mark on the Fanatic. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
How you doing?
What's up, man?
I wanted to weigh in on the preseason games and the extension of the regular season. I'm opposed to that extending the season to 18 games because I think the only people that benefits are owners who just can't get enough of taking your money, you know. So it's, you know, contrary to the players' health playing longer seasons. And it's one thing to have a pointless preseason game, but it's even worse to have a pointless game at the end of the season where guys are resting their starters because they already locked up playoff position or they might be starting to tank. So it's worse to have pointless games at the end of the season than preseason games because, for one, preseason games aren't contests. They're evaluations. And you're only evaluating players. So the people that watch it from the perspective of it's a game, they're missing the point, and they shouldn't even watch the games, because rather than complain about something that you're not understanding, just don't watch them, because, you know, players have to be evaluated, and no colleges have exhibition games. No.
Oh man, we just lost your line out of the clear blue. It's the point I brought up, that college doesn't play any exhibition games, and look, a lot of colleges and good teams open up against Dreck. They just do.
Yeah, the Appalachian States of the world.
Yeah, Akron, or I think Penn State's opening up against Idaho.
Nice.
I don't even know what Idaho's their mascot is.
You know, it's still going to be a packed house, though. Are they at home or are they at Idaho?
They're playing Idaho. It's a Beaver Stadium. But in week one, so the first full-blown Saturday of college football, there is a couple good games, I believe. I'm trying to find the... So the 8 o'clock game that night, the ABC game is, let me see here, UTEP, no. Where's that? I thought there was a couple of good games in week one. LSU, Georgia Southern, no, there's a lot of bad games, to be honest with you. Florida State, Boise State. All right. That's not bad.
Robert Morris, Buffalo. That's a big one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
610-632-0975, that's the number. Yeah, Monday, September 2nd, Notre Dame plays Louisville, Oklahoma, Houston on that Sunday. But it'll be good to have college football back. Now, did you see this? Somebody sent me this story yesterday that they're trying to do a Hard Knocks type show around college football.
Okay.
And I'm against this. And I love Hard Knocks. Because the reason why I'm against it is because you don't pay the players.
Yes, that's fair.
So somebody's making money off the show.
Well, they're already making money off the games.
And yeah, they're already making a lot of money off the games, off of attendance, and a lot of times at college football stadiums, it's huge attendance, obviously, when you talk about places like Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, these really big stadiums. I think it's unfair to put kids that age.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, okay.
In that situation.
Professional
it could affect
athletes
them.
Are divas. Yep. We already know that.
And they're grown men,
but
for the most part.
But they are grown men. Whereas a kid going to college, especially a highly talented freshman who's just 18 years old. I know Ben Simmons had a documentary when he was, 18 or 19 years old?
At LSU,
That's one thing. It's a one-person thing. But a full team, and it's more than 53 men, and it's more than 90 men.
It's a lot.
You know what I mean? So I don't like that idea either.
Yeah, you could put a kid in an unguarded situation and expose something about him that could affect his draft status years down the road. I'm just not in favor of it. They don't get paid, so I'm not in favor of doing it. And I love Hard Knocks. I know there was that Last Chance U show that was did with Michigan the 1 year, I believe.
I think they still do that, don't they?
There's been a couple of them.
But there's like the undrafted show,
mm-hmm.
and they work out in certain areas. And I know somebody got signed not too long ago from one of those shows. It may have been with the Jets. Somebody just got signed.
No, was it the guy with the Raiders? Doss?
Yes.
Not Doss. It was another guy. It was,
but it was somebody with the Raiders.
He got cut in week one.
No, did he? Oh, there
you
go.
Now, he was on that show. I think he was a walk-on somewhere in college or something like that. And, it was the guy, the offensive line. They cut him in the first episode. They took his number 63 jersey down and replaced him in the first episode. So that didn't work out real good.
No.
610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to Mike yesterday, and Mike was talking about, obviously, Charlie and the addition of Charlie, and if they play well, and, you know, a lot of people believe that because Charlie's there, if they play well and they turn it around, they'll fire Gabe and make Charlie the manager. Now, Charlie's been pretty forthright and said, I don't want to manage this team. I'm 75 years old. I'm retired. Right. I'm just kind of doing this as a favor because they pay me to be an advisor. It's not a huge commitment because it's only the rest of the season. But Mike's point was, well, if they do well, they're not going to fire Gabe. But if they don't do well, then maybe that's how Charlie could become the manager. Would you be okay if they decided to move forward and make Charlie the manager again?
Would I hate it? No. Do I see it happening? No.
Yeah, I don't see it happening.
And I don't even buy, like, I think Charlie might want to manage, but do you actually see them continuing with Charlie Manuel again as the manager of the team?
No, the reason why I don't believe so is because, philosophically speaking, they are an analytics-driven organization, and that goes all the way up from John Middleton all the way down.
Right, but if the next 43 games show that the analytics in terms of the offensive approach is thrown out the window and they hit well.
Well, that's the thing about
change.
John. That's the unknown about John Middleton.
Right.
Is how is he swayed? I know he's in favor of analytics, at least going into this season and since he's kind of taken the helm. But now that he's got players and they expect to win, if the analytics aren't working and it works with Charlie as the hitting coach, not analytically driven, is he a guy that's going to be like, I'm beholden to analytics. I believe in it with all my heart and soul. Or is he a guy that goes, hey, this is just winning baseball. It's exciting baseball, too. Because he wants an exciting team. Because that puts butts in the seats. It's entertaining.
I think the next, if let's just say Gabe Kapler's fired at the end of the season, I'm not saying he will be, but if he is, next guy has to be somebody with pedigree. Because you went to Ryan Sandberg, who had no managerial experience. You went to Pete McCannon, who didn't really have much. He did have some before he came to the Phillies, but not much. And then Gabe Kapler had zero managerial experience, just like Sandberg. So, well, Sandberg at least did it in the minor leagues. Gabe barely did it in the minor leagues. You would have to go after somebody who's been doing it and has had success at some point. I know a lot of people wanted Dusty Wathan, who's their third base coach now, to be their manager when they first hired Gabe Kapler. Do you just slide him over? I mean, he knows these young players. He managed a lot of them. Rhys Hoskins, Scott Kingery, all those guys that came up through AAA. He was their manager when they were successful down there. So maybe he's a guy that slides right in.
Yeah, I think that Middleton would probably prefer a guy that's pedigreed, though.
But he also believes in the analytics stuff, Wathan, because he came up through the organization with it. But he's also an old-school baseball guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I made the case yesterday. I don't think that Gabe's job should be in jeopardy, because the general manager hasn't given him the tools to succeed. You know, when you give him a rotation that's got these guys in it, you can't hold him accountable because the GM didn't. And I'm not saying Gabe's been great.
I wonder if Gabe believed those guys were going to be good too. Like, a lot. It wasn't Matt Klentak and Gabe Kapler who thought Nick Pivetta was going to be good this year. You heard all the Major League Baseball analysts. A lot of people thought that Nick Pivetta was going to be this legit starting pitcher who was a stud this season.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Klentak. It wasn't just Gabe Kapler. But I wonder if Gabe bought into it too.
Well, he probably did because you want to buy into it.
Yeah.
You want to believe that your guys are going to take the next step and be great and be really good and contribute. And, you know, they see the stuff that he has. That's not the problem. He's got stuff. He just
doesn't know how to
pitch. Can't put it together. Yeah. 610-632-0975. Let's go to VT Ron on the Fanatic. Ronnie.
Hey, boys. What's going on?
What's up,
Ron?
Hey, you're talking my language now. You got college football on the brain. Now you're talking, man. Hey, that opening weekend, you got an Auburn, Texas team playing down there in Texas. Notre Dame and Louisville, don't sleep on that one. See what Louisville's got.
Yep.
You know, they went through some tough times. That's another great game. Of course, I'll be heading down to Tech the following week, but they open up at Boston College. The ACC has set up the schedule so that there's a lot of ACC teams playing on that first weekend against each other, so they hit the schedule right away.
Yeah, Clemson's playing Georgia Tech at Clemson.
Yeah. Georgia Tech, you know, they got a new coach, you know, Johnson's out there. So
yep.
Thank God that, you know, that they run that thing. And man, every time we played them, I was wondering how many guys are going to be out with bad knees because all they do is cut block the whole game. So, you know, I'm just excited with this coming up. I think college football, you know, they're starting. I think the first game, here's an interesting one, too. I think UCLA plays.
Cincinnati.
But yep. Guess who that is? It's Chipper. You know?
Yeah, the Chipper.
So, yeah, you got Chip. You got the Chip bot doing that again. So the UCLA Chip bots will be out in full force. So, you know, college football, you know, Jason, Andrew, you know, I like it. I like both footballs. But boy, there really is something special about college football. And I know you guys are big Penn State guys and going out there, you know, to watch Penn State. They watch the Knits, but the college pageantry and everything like that, there's nothing better. So, you know, I just had to get in when I heard you talking about that. I said, there are some really, really good games coming up on that weekend. And they start what? I think the 28th is the first game?
No. The first game, Ron, is the 24th. It's a week from this Saturday.
I mean, are you kidding? Oh, I mean, can you ask anything better?
No.
And here's another thing for Ron from Myrtle Beach. I'm a substitute working the chains for Coastal Carolina this year.
Oh, is that right?
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'll be on the chains, too. So if you grease my palm, maybe I can move the front stick back and forward.
Well, you just lost your gig as the substitute if they heard that.
No, hey, that's going to be cool, though. Yeah, a buddy of mine, he's in charge of it. So it's actually run through the Sun Belt. So I'm really excited about that, too, to be on the chain gang this year down low. So.
Well, I'm looking for – I love hearing from you during football season. Cause I love, like, following your adventures, going all over the place, seeing different teams play, different stadiums.
Yeah, my first adventure is on the first weekend that Tech opens up at home. I'm going to go to the ODU game and then get in the car, drive to my daughter's in Northern Virginia, and then we open up with the Redskins that Sunday, and I'll drive to the game that Sunday, and then, you know, hang out at my daughter's Sunday night. So yeah, it all starts now. I'm going to start putting a lot of miles and start spending a lot of money for gas.
Yeah,
you know, and I'll check. I got to check in now. You know,
absolutely.
I'm on the list for the rep from Myrtle Beach, South
Charter
Carolina.
Chapter. Yeah, you're our charter chapter guy from Myrtle Beach. Ron is on the United Nations of Eagles fans. And we'll be hearing from Ron. He's got the adventures of VT Ron. Got to make sure the tires got the correct air pressure. And
yeah.
A lot of driving coming
gotta
up.
Got to fill up the oil, change the oil.
How about Jeff Collins? He comes to Temple. His first game is the Temple head coach. He goes Notre Dame, right?
Yep.
First game.
I was there. I traveled out there.
That's right. You went out there. First game is the coach of Georgia Tech. He goes to Clemson.
Oh, man. He's not getting any luck with this schedule. I didn't realize. I know we've been talking about the Miami-Florida game for a while. I didn't know it's the day of FanFest.
Yeah. That night it's 7 o'clock.
A lot of people might be sticking around.
Oh yeah, I mean it's going to be it's unbelievable. But that it's a week from Saturday. I mean we're the midway point of August right now.
You do the Fan Fest till 5.
Yeah,
stick around for that at 7. And isn't Nelly performing?
And Nelly
at Xfinity Live
that night? Yeah, that's right.
Got to see what time that Nelly concert's at.
610.
The Phillies play the Marlins.
Okay. 610-632-0975. Top of the hour, we're going to hear from Zach Berman from The Athletic. Get his thoughts on what we're going to see tonight down in Jacksonville as the Eagles preseason game number 2 will take place tonight on the road. First one on the road back home next week against Baltimore. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. That's Andrew in for Anthony. Jason Martinez with you on 97.5 The Fanatic. And I got to tell you about Carlino's Market. Now, we got a location right in my hometown of Westchester. And there's another great one in Ardmore. And I can vouch for both locations and their unreal selection of artisan foods. They're simply the best, and now they're in their third generation of ownership. And Carlino's continues their tradition of old world techniques as makers and purveyors of hand-roasted meats, artisan cheeses, handmade desserts, signature pastas and sauces. How about house-baked bread, prepared gourmet takeaway foods, and so much more. You never know what you're going to find when you go. My wife and I, we go to the Westchester location on a regular basis, and there's always something new and delicious to try. So stop in for a delicious lunch, pick up dinner, and don't forget they're great for catering as well. You can finish your summer cookout season off strong with Carlino's fresh grilling options throughout every section of their markets, including deli salads, homemade sausages, local produce, and vegetarian options as well. And you can even check out their social media channels for incredible summer grill recipes and ideas. So do yourself a favor. Visit either of their 2 store locations, Westchester or Ardmore. Or for more information, just visit their website, Carlino's Market.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. The Fanatic.
We'll talk to Zach Berman from The Athletic coming up momentarily. I just came across this story, Andrew. It says the NFLPA, the Players Association, suggests that players sell cars, homes, clothes ahead of a potential work stoppage. Now, it says the NFL Players Association has sent out a work stoppage guide to its players in preparation for a potential lockout following the 2020 season. So not this season, not next season, after that.
Right.
And the article says, frankly, this is advice we could all use. And now here's a few highlights of what the NFLPA has sent out to the players. It says, consider selling a car you have not driven in the past 6 months. Try cooking at home instead of eating out. These are all to save money in case there's a work stoppage. Adopt a weekly no spending day. You won't spend any money on a particular, like Wednesday is no spend Wednesday.
That must be nice because you know what? I have no spending weeks.
Yeah. Yes.
And they have no spending days.
It says consider renting instead of buying a home. It also says to rent out unoccupied homes or bedrooms. Try selling clothes you have not worn in a year on Poshmark, ThredUp, or Tradesy. I don't know what any of those websites are, but I guess they're secondhand clothing you can buy. It says avoid co-signing on loans, cut down on giving money to friends and family, save half of each paycheck, if not more, and make needed major home repairs now. This was sent out from the NFLPA to the NFL players. And in case there is a work stoppage, not after this season, but after the following season, the 2020 season.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this a few months ago when that story first came out, and we went over it a year without football. Like, what would life be like if we went through a full year without football?
The off season in the NFL already feels like an eternity.
Yes.
It does. Like, at this point, like, we're just like, get us to the regular season. We're not even saying get us to the playoffs or anything like that. Just get us to week one when the Eagles take on the Redskins. And you probably start to itch for football around end of April, maybe a little bit in March even, because you've had about a month off and then you have free agency like the first week of March and the new league year and all that. And then you get the draft in late April, early May, and you're starting to itch for football to come back. If you had to go from the Super Bowl this year and the new league year wouldn't start because they're on strike, they'd have a draft and stuff. But if you had to do that and go on a full calendar year without football, it would essentially be a year and a half.
Yeah.
Without football, that would be an atrocity.
Now, I'm one of the few people that I don't wish my summer away because I am a baseball honk, as you like to say. So I don't wish the summer away. But I'll be lying to you if I said I wasn't excited for football. Like, I am starting to get juiced up. I am starting to be like, okay, can we? I wouldn't mind fast forwarding a little bit now that I'm in that 1 month zone. I'm within
yeah,
1 month,
just a couple
from the
weeks away.
Yeah, so now I want to hit that fast forward button. I'm not hitting it in May or June or even July, but now that I'm on August 15th, I'm okay with pushing forward to September 8th at this point.
Well, you get September baseball too, and the baseball playoffs
right,
which are around the corner as well.
I don't think I could survive a year without football.
Yeah, it would
be. Just takes, and not just with our job. Like take work out of it. Think about how hard that is. What do you do on Monday? You react to Sunday. What do you do Tuesday? You start looking forward already to the following weekend.
We'd be reacting to a Sixers weekend game on Mondays in late October as opposed to a football game. I mean, if the NFL were to be locked out or go on strike, whatever you call it, I think they're calling it a potential lockout. It's a lockout. So the owners would lock out the players. What would that do? Would it hurt the NFL if they were locked out, like it hurt baseball in 94?
Wow, I mean, that pretty much killed baseball.
Well, until McGuire and Sosa went on the pursuit.
I don't know if it would kill football, but let me say this. I know there's a lot of people. I remember I did the show with you guys, you and Anthony, and then I was on with Mike after you guys. So I did one of those doubles that day. And Mike said there's no way this would happen. They wouldn't allow it to happen because of how much money the owners make. And I understand that. But I know that the players are fed up with not having guaranteed contracts. And I know they can't have guaranteed contracts because one hit and their careers could be done. Yep. So they can't have guaranteed contracts, but they want more guaranteed money. I wouldn't be surprised if the players fight a little harder this time.
Well, they got to find something. And to go back to that 18-game schedule that the caller brought up earlier, and the reason that was floated was essentially as a bargaining chip in these negotiations, which could happen in 2020. It's very interesting.
Very.
You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station, and we broadcast in the Xfinity Studios only from Comcast. We'll get back to that conversation. I want to probe that a little bit further, but let's go to the man right now. Now with The Athletic, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Zach Berman covers the Eagles for The Athletic. Zach, how's it going down in Jacksonville?
It's going great. I appreciate having me on. I'm down here now, looking forward to the game tonight.
Well, you got the new venture with The Athletic. How's it been going?
I'm really enjoying it. You know, it's a chance to write different types of stories, and it's